Hey, I'm Des.
Hey, y'all, I'm Sai.
And we're the co-hosts of Let's Talk Sis podcast, where we truly believe that together, empowered women can transform their lives.
Join us for heartfelt stories, enlightening conversations, and a whole lot of accountability along the way. All right, so we're back with another episode.
Yes, yes.
Another week of recording.
Child. I've been loving it, though.
Yeah, I cannot lie. I have been loving it. I think that also our audience has definitely been able to, like, feed off of our energy. We've been so much more present this season. And I don't know. The feedback that I've been getting personally has been really good.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of great things, a lot of improvement. And yeah, I love it. And I feel, even like you said, they can feel our energy, because I'm excited. Not saying I wasn't excited to record before, but I'm like,
I look forward
looking
to it.
To it now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so here we are with another episode.
We'll start with card game. Let's jump right into the card game.
All right, so we're going to pluck a card from our Let's Talk Sister conversational card game. My card says, what is your favorite non-physical quality about yourself?
Non-physical. I think it would be my attitude, which is something that I think people probably dislike the most about me, but that will be my favorite non-physical attribute about myself. How about you?
My favorite non-physical quality would be... having empathy. I guess being empathetic. I feel like it's a gift and a curse sometimes, especially for me, like trying to, you know, go through this different transition in my life. But overall, I love being able to, you know, sometimes further understand people. So I would say empathy.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I just want to go back and piggyback off of mine. Sometimes I really hate my attitude. But when I said attitude, I meant like sass. Like I love my sassiness, but my attitude does definitely get on my nerves sometimes.
So... you said sass. Is sass still a quality at this grown age?
I mean, I've been like this my whole life. Like, even in the kitchen, I remember my first kitchen job. They was like, you're stirring the risotto with so much sassiness. Like, it's just like the way you move, you maneuver, like, type of thing. Like, people at work, because they know me so much, they're able to differentiate. Like, okay, she's not mad. She's passionate. She's, like, set. Like, there's a little bit of... edge or a little, you know, and I think that could be misconstrued earlier on and like getting to know somebody.
The only reason why I ask that is because when I think of the word sass, it's like, that's like what my grandparents say about when you were a little girl and you like, oh, she's sassy. I never heard that, and like, you know, explaining a grown person.
I've heard this like my whole entire life, like even up until like this week at work. Like, this is, I don't know, always been associated. But all right, I'm gonna pick another one. This one says, would you say that we handle conflict well amongst one another? If not, then what do you suggest we try?
Being completely transparent as of lately, no, not at all. We used to. I feel like we've asked this question previously in the earlier season. The answer was probably yes. These days we don't. What's the second half of the question?
Why? If not, then what do you suggest we try?
I suggest we implement some of the things our therapist tells us individually. No, honestly, because I don't think it's nothing like that you do to me or I do to you. It's just more of a self-reflection type of thing. As we mentioned before, we're so similar in certain ways. So it's like those egotistical moments or those moments of having just pride or, you know, those, it's like it takes self-improvement.
So
I feel like the only way to improve our conflict resolution is to improve ourselves individually.
I think that also, if we're being transparent, I think that our boundaries or barriers of communication has changed a lot as well within the last few months. And I think that it was easier for us to focus on conflict resolution because we had like really open lines of communication. And I don't think that any of us were in a sense of being offended. We were really genuinely curious about about conflict resolution.
Now it's like, what you mean by that?
Yeah.
I need to watch the way I say this because I don't want to offend you too much. So,
I want to offend you, but not too much. Did y'all peep that? I don't know, but
no.
Anyways, but
not the with the little side eye. Okay, next.
No, but transparently speaking, yeah. I think that's where we are, and I think comfortability plays a huge role in it, because our friendship was being prioritized more, and now that we have a business the business is being prioritized more, but yeah. You know, nonetheless, I think at the end of the day, when a date ends, we get through it.
Oh yeah, and it gets handled.
Might take a little bit longer now, but we get there.
It gets handled. So yeah.
Yeah. So let's dive into.
I was gonna ask.
Okay.
What are we talking about this episode?
Girl, you know what we talking about.
They don't know what we talking about.
Oh, okay. All right. So we are talking about starting over.
Mm-hmm.
I think the title of this episode should be Girl, Just Start Over.
Yes.
Because it's so crazy, mm-hmm. because you and I just recently had a conversation similar to this. But just last night, I had somebody message me saying we should talk about like starting over.
Mm-hmm.
Like really.
Like a clean slate, fresh
what
start.
What does it entail? You know?
Yeah.
And what is it like? You know? Because mm-hmm. I feel like you go through so many seasons of rediscovery when you're in the midst of starting something new.
It's hard.
It is.
It's so hard.
It's mentally hard.
It's just hard. All overall is hard. It's not an easy task. I feel like that's my current season. Like if I could title my current season, it's literally like starting over.
Mm.
Trying to go back on so many habits and go back on so many traits and so many things that I've practiced all the years of my life, and that's embedded in me and formed me to be who I am today. And now I'm able to recognize what I dislike, what I want to change, what I want to improve in. So it's like trying to go back and erase what's already written in permanent marker. It's hard. So yeah, I think I'm definitely in the season right now, starting over.
So what triggered your desire of wanting to change?
Transparently, therapy.
Definitely. Oh, you in therapy right now?
I just started back therapy, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Look, the shade. Yes, I had.
Oh, no.
No, yeah, I just started back therapy, though. But overall, like, even when I said this whole season, when I first decided, like, that I do want to change and erase a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
it was from actually a previous therapist. But it was more so recognizing and going over the relationships in my life and realizing that the repetitiveness of certain things that I disliked in these repeated relationships is like, okay, I need to look inward now. Why am I keep attracting this? And not just relationships, but like friendships and all types of things. But it's like, why am I keep attracting this type of person? Or why am I keep being in situations that make me feel this way? And it was more so of self-reflection and, you know, being self-aware. So realizing the person, I guess, I am today,
mm-hmm.
and knowing the person I want to be and trying to wedge that gap between the two.
That's good.
So, yeah.
I don't know. It's so many layers to this. So I really want to just kind of share what emotions are typically, you know, associated with the feeling or the decision of starting over. Because I know personally for me, whenever I've ever arrived at like wanting to start over pertaining to anything, it has been a breaking point associated or just being fed up, you know?
Yeah.
So what is that like for you?
Very similar. Pretty much the same thing with just being fed up. I think it's always being fed up, but it's just different things that make me fed up, if that makes sense. Because I've started over a few times. So like within the past few months or something, mine has been, I told everybody that I challenged with being a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
So mine has been me being fed up, but not really necessarily with myself, just kind of with everybody else. Fed up with how things made me feel, or fed up with not feeling like people are there for me as much as I am for them, and just all of that type of stuff, being fed up with that and not eliminating the fact that sometimes people aren't just good, like just not good people,
mm-hmm.
but also reflecting on to, okay, you didn't set no boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't lay no line down. You didn't let these people know even how you wanted to be treated.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was more so fed up with that around this time and realizing like, you gotta set the tone, or what my nana tells me all the time, like teach people how you want to teach people how to treat you.
Yeah.
And I realized that I just go with the flow. I just, you know, so yeah. It's like I can't expect me out of everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And I think something you said reminded me of something that I heard earlier. When you said, like, just go with the flow, mm-hmm. It reminded me of you just being passive. You just being a receiver, right? And today, when we had an event earlier, yeah. Just for our viewers. But at the event, someone was speaking and they said something. I don't know who was speaking, but I know I remember hearing this. And then she was basically saying, like, take control of your story.
Yep.
You know, take control of your narrative. And I think that arriving at that point for mm-hmm. You has definitely been taking control of the narrative, the relationship, yeah. Whatever the dynamic is. And just being in charge, you know, yeah. Like this is my boundary. This is what I'm establishing. And this is what I want, mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's definitely okay.
And I want to add to that. Also, like how you said, taking control from, even if not in the very beginning, but from the moment I realized it, because mm-hmm. That's what I think is something I fought with so much, because I know when I'm not being treated right, or I know when I'm in a space that I don't want to be. Mm-hmm. And instead of, I guess, taking that control or laying that boundary and correcting it, I just remove myself. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is not how I want to be treated, so I'm just not going to deal with this person at all. But doing that, it's like I'm going to the next person or the next friendship or the next whatever, and it's the same exact thing because I never laid the boundary down in the first place.
Yes,
and I feel like that's something I've been revisiting on lately. It's like, not just, I guess, the fight or flight thing that we was talking about before, mm-hmm. Like not just running away from it, but letting them know, like, I don't like this and this is what I like. And then decide from there if that's something you should stay around for or if that's something you should completely remove yourself from.
That's really good, because I feel like you give someone the opportunity to, you know, the ball yes. Is in their court at that point to make up mm-hmm. The decision, yeah, to make the ultimate decision. Yeah. Like, and then I feel like you don't have any survivor's remorse when you move like that, right? Because yeah. It's like, I can gracefully bow out knowing that this was laid out. Mm-hmm. I told you this, and I extended grace in this moment yeah. By even communicating that I didn't like that. Now it's on you.
Opposed to never even letting them know, and now you disappear, and they're clueless, thinking they did nothing wrong because it was never addressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm learning as yeah. I'm growing. It's a process.
Yeah. I feel like there are so many different aspects to starting over. Yeah. And I want to share some aspects that really have been, like, pivotal for me within okay. The last few years. And it's been moving and relocating. And I know we talked about that on a previous episode. Yep. But I think that starting over, for me personally, has always had a negative connotation associated with it.
Why? What do you mean by that?
Because sometimes I feel like when you start over, people look at you as if you failed. That's why you're starting over. Mm. You know? Instead of it, looking at it from like, oh, you get a new opportunity or a new day to take advantage of this or whatever literally. The case may be.
Yeah.
And then I feel like in my process, like right now, for example, mm-hmm. I'm starting over from scratch, I feel like, because I'm in a new environment. I'm yeah. In Houston now. I'm not back home in Philly, but with my business. Mm-hmm. I'm starting over from scratch, but I'm starting over with the experience.
Yep.
And I'm super grateful for that. But from the from external point of view, it's, I would be lying if I say I didn't care what people thought about me, you know? But, like, from the external point of view, it's like, why are you moving to a new territory to start over and build something new when you have a supporting audience back home, you know? People don't really understand. No, but I'm saying, like, these are, like, yeah. Points that people are saying to me. Like, why are we support you here. You going to sell out here. You going to reach people here always. But people aren't, like, supportive of the idea of yeah. You moving out of, you know, your territory yeah. Or just trying to experience something new.
I can understand both sides of the fence with that one. I understand you get the support here. You don't got to start over. You already put the work in and built this.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that you need to go and do what overall makes you happy. And by that, I mean in your, you know, specific situation, it's like, that's where your support is and that's where you did the work and that's where you built the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, aside from business, is that where you want to be mentally? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Is that where you physically want to be? So I think people should have more grace that yes, you are a business, but you're also a human.
Yeah.
And there's 50 billion people in this world. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, they are the ones that you started with and that will support you. But there are people here and there and everywhere that will support you and love your creativity just as much as they did at home.
Yeah. And you said something that really hit home for me. Mm-hmm. You said, like, basically you think that people should do a better job at extending grace, you know, for those who are in the process of starting over.
Yeah.
And I agree with that so much because I was just recently having a conversation with a friend, right? Mm-hmm. And when I first moved to Houston, he was basically like, when my apartment first got broken into, he was basically telling me, like, go back home. It's just a sense of security here. You know, it's comfortable. Like, you know what to expect. You won't have to worry about stuff like this happening to you when you're home, right? So recently when I was having a conversation with him, mind you, this is 2 years later,
right.
His perspective, he basically apologized. He was like, you know, I'm sorry for being one of those people on the other side of the fence and not being on your team.
Yeah.
But he was like, I mean, although my intentions meant well, it wasn't, now that I'm in a position and I'm facing the resistance and I have the opposers, which are my friends and family, like, you know, you get what I'm saying? The experience is completely different. And I think that him arriving, it wasn't even an apology or anything that hit home for me. It was the fact that he arrived at the point that, like, you were opposing a goal or a dream of mine without even intentionally meaning to be malicious, you know? And I think that, I thank God that I'm strong-willed, because if I was, like, any weaker or, like, if I had that, like, you know what I'm saying, that if I had the provision or the opportunity for doubt to seek in, I would not be where I am today.
Yeah, that's very true.
I would not be who I am today.
And that's what it builds. Trials and tribulation builds character.
For sure.
Like, it builds the person you become.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to always be on the, like, I'm never going to understand the, oh, just do this because it's easier. Do this because it's more comfortable. Probably because I was the person that left and was told that so much. So I'm always going to be the side of it that supports you doing what is not fun and what's going to be very uncomfortable at the time. Only because it's like every time you do something new, it's eventually going to have some good. You're going to receive the fruits of your labor.
Yeah,
God,
I was just gonna
say that.
God
is going to provide for you just for having that will of doing
that faith,
what you
what
you truly wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you were to say, okay, I tried this, this ain't work or whatever the case, or this happened, I'm gonna go back home, that would have been the easy way. And what you experienced, that's probably what your emotions and stuff was feeling at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, overall, that's not what your heart desired, and that's not what God has originally set for you, because he wouldn't have sent you out here in the first place.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I'm going to always go with the hard side, because
yeah, I was about to say, for me too, I also agree with that. I'm always going to be on whatever side the resistance is, because I feel like wherever there is resistance, like, it's a proven fact. Like, wherever you experience any type of resistance or you just feel like the enemy is attacking you, baby, just know that them blessings are going to be big every time. It's a proven fact.
Every time.
So I'm always pushing and encouraging my tribe, go towards the resistance, go towards where you feel uncomfortable, because that's where
fight back.
And
I think that creates so much growth, because even if you looked at it in the sense of, okay, me doing this or, you know, staying out here isn't as beneficial as it would have been for my business if I stayed home or for this, it's making you a better person. It's improved you in so many ways as, you know, an individual.
Now, so, I want to be transparent and say that starting over is not all peaches and cream, because
I started with saying how hard it is.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I made sure I started with how hard it is.
It is very hard. I'm talking about hard across the board, like emotionally difficult, mentally difficult, financially difficult for me, like, to just get up and leave somewhere that I have nurtured and I have poured into and I have built up to say that I'm moving somewhere new.
Yeah. It's kind of what I explained in the beginning when I said, when we was even talking about just starting over, because moving is starting over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like stripping you. You literally get stripped of
everything
you've known, everything that you were comfortable with, everybody. Because even when you move, you still got supporters and people that support you and, you know, family and stuff like that. But you by yourself.
Literally.
Like, when you move and you on that couch or on, like, in your place, you're by yourself. All of them family and friends, is thousands of miles away. So you feel that it's like you being stripped of everything.
Yeah. And I also want to add that even before, it's crazy because I think that the level of starting over is mm-hmm. different. It varies. Mm-hmm. But even when I moved out of my mom's house for the first time, like even if it was 10 miles away or 25 miles away, like yeah. it doesn't have to be 1,000 miles away for you to experience the emotions and, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All of the growth that comes along with starting over with something new. But.
And even with starting over, we're, you know, given the example of the huge start overs that we did with moving away from home and moving out of state. But mm-hmm. a start over, like you just said, it could be a new small. Job. It could be yeah. very small. It could be a new job. It could be
a child.
It could be a child. That's kind of big. But it can be a child. It can be, you know, a new hairstyle. It could be a new relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, starting over is just anything brand new. Anything you haven't previously experienced.
Yeah.
So you don't have to think like, oh, I'm not ready to move to a new state, so I'm not ready to start over. Negative. Starting yeah. over is anything. Anything that's new for you. Anything that takes you out your comfort zone.
Yeah. Sometimes you can make a decision that takes you out of your comfort zone and then absolutely hate it. Like, you yeah. said a new hairstyle. Like, I decided to get these braids, y'all. And immediately, as soon as I got up out the chair, I just turned to the lady and I was like, I hate them so bad. And she felt bad, but it was
kind of... Wait, you told her that?
Yes. I said, I hate this. And... And she was, like, disappointed because, I mean, she just spent the last 5 hours braiding mm-hmm. my hair. But it was just like, wow, this is really ugly. Yeah. But, you know, I'm pushing through.
And then a lot of startovers, too. Like, you got some startovers, it's like you want to start over, but you got to play it safe. Because mm-hmm. even talking about hair, like, yo, my hairstylist, Sai, so many people have been telling me for the longest, because, like, my hair is kind of damaged in the middle. And so many people have been telling me, like, just cut it off. Just cut it off and mm-hmm. start over real big. And it's like... I ain't gonna do that. Like, that's not the trying to, because then I'm gonna be, yeah, that's not the start over I'm trying to experience. But it could be anything. That was my point. It could okay. be any type of thing.
So I want to take the opportunity for the conversation to pivot into, what is it like starting over from, but with experience?
Oh, it's amazing.
No, but it's listen, good. Hold on, because what just popped into my mind as we were previously talking about just starting over in general uh-huh. was about relationships.
Yeah.
Like, giving somebody a second chance, like somebody you were dating, giving them a second chance, knowing damn well you should have never gave them a second chance.
Why are you yelling? Like, tone it down just a little Ooh, bit.
Not to rekindle with the ex.
Hold on. Not too much. I mean, people make mistakes, you know?
What was your question again? Okay, so what is it like? Like, what do you think is, what like, is from what experience? Like?
What was the question?
Starting over, oh, but yeah. what from experience? You said okay. it's great.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was talking about other things, like, you know, business and stuff like that. I do think it's good, though. Mm-hmm. It's good to start over with experience, and that's with anything, even in relationships. It's because you know now more of what you want. You know more of what you dislike. And even if we're talking about business or whatever, you've experienced the hardships and you've experienced the challenges. So now you know, okay, I could take this direction, because when I took that direction, it didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like also, which plays a huge role in everything, you also re-enter into whatever, you know, your new phase is with more confidence. Mm. It's the more confidence of, okay, this not a new rodeo. Like, I've experienced this before. So although you probably will still, you know, run into new endeavors, mm-hmm. you got an idea of how to pivot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think starting over with experience is a great thing, though. It's a good thing.
I agree. So when we talk about starting over, right, what personal attributes do you think need to be considered or heavily involved in order for you to get the best out of a situation?
Self-awareness.
That's good.
You got to have self-awareness. You got to be very, very self-aware, because like I mentioned, when you experience things that went bad for you or didn't work, or just, you know, whatever didn't work out for whatever the situation was, you got to be self-aware enough to know, I might have done this wrong, or I might have, you know, could have made a better decision in this area. So you got to be self-aware, because it's like you got to reevaluate yourself and, you know, the direction,
the role that you played in everything.
Yeah,
I think that that's really important, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to, if you don't mind, I'm gonna piggyback on a conversation that we had, excuse me, a few weeks ago when we were talking about, I forget, what did I ask you? It was about like humility, right?
Mm.
And it was a personal conversation, but I think that, I don't know, I feel like sometimes when we be having conversations, it's like, sometimes it really hit home because it's like a I moment. Yeah. Like, like the fact that you was able to pick up on that,
I remember that conversation.
Yeah, but the fact that like you were able to pick up on that from an external perspective just shows me that I have so much work to do, right? And our conversation was about like having a fake sense of humility. And I think I was asking from a personal perspective, but this is something that I genuinely want to have like a outward conversation about, because I think sometimes we think we're so humble and you know, we're all of these things, but it's like, are you really humble just because you say you humble?
Yeah.
Like, does your actions...
like, is it a facade?
Does your thoughts... do your thoughts align with being humble?
And within that conversation, also piggybacking onto what I just said, something that goes so well into all of that, again, is self-awareness. Because when we were having that conversation, you asked me what you asked me, I think my first response was that, like, yeah, I'm very self-aware. Like, I know I think this and I know I feel this, you know, when certain situations arise, but you got to be self-aware. Now, I do also think sometimes it's possible to be too self-aware.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think we were having a conversation about that. I think I brought that up to you.
Yeah, you could definitely be too self-aware, but self-awareness plays a huge role.
Can you elaborate on that?
Being too self-aware?
Mm-hmm.
Being too self-aware would be...
oh, we did have a conversation.
Being too self-aware could be, like, overly taking the blame for something. And when I said that, I could go back to my conversation about me, you know, dissecting my relationships and my friendships and all of that, and saying that I had to realize that I was the one that didn't set the boundaries, or I was the one that needed to reevaluate myself because these people weren't treating me right. And it's like, to think about it, it kind of sounds crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why I added the fact that also sometimes people just aren't good people as well.
Yeah.
So you have to be self-aware on a level of recognizing your faults and the role that you played, but you also have to be realistic and recognize when other people are playing roles in whatever the situation is as well.
I feel like self-awareness is... it's called self-awareness, but I think that you need to be, you yourself need to be aware. Like, it's called self-awareness, but like, just be aware.
But I think we like to emphasize self-awareness because a lot of people are aware, but a lot of people are also oblivious. So you could be very aware to the external. You could be very aware of how these people are, you know, treating you or what these other people are doing wrong and completely oblivious to the roles you play. Like, there has been many times where I've just been in situations and I'll be just thinking, like, and this kind of goes back on my thing about being empathetic a little bit, but I really be trying to think in my head, like, okay, I know this person. Like, are they not thinking what I'm thinking? Like, are they not feeling bad, or are they not feeling, you know, something? Like, just trying to be, I don't know, you just got to be super aware of where the role everybody is playing in the situation, but also yourself.
I also want to talk about a few other attributes that I think are very important, like discipline. I think discipline is very important when we talk about the possibility of starting over, right? I think that without discipline, like, where would you be, or what would you accomplish?
You can't start over without discipline.
Discernment, alignment, like, there's so many different... I don't know.
I think I need to emphasize, you cannot start over without discipline.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to start over. Nothing is going to be new.
Oh, that's good. You're never going to start over. You're never going to get to starting over without the discipline. Like, discipline, that has to be step one.
Discipline is step one for sure. Because we can look at the starting over thing on so many different levels of even... the different scenarios that I mentioned of, like, you know, reevaluate my friendships, whatever things may be, or even what you said about moving and experiencing the stuff you experienced. It's like, overall, if you didn't have the discipline to lock into, you know, whatever it was, you can't start over.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have discipline, you're always going to resort back to what's comfortable. You're always going to resort back to comfortability.
That's good. I keep hearing D, D, D,
nothing without discipline. Like
I keep hearing D, 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 D. Like discipline, discernment, decision. Mm. Like so much.
You know,
like
D is so a great deep. Letter. A lot of, you know, destiny.
But
yeah, I think that's really good. So let me ask you, mm-hmm. have you started over? Do you feel like anything was like starting over, a new fresh start for you recently?
I think, I don't know if this counts, but I think having a change in mindset towards something.
Such as? What
like
do you
changing
mean?
My mindset or my perspective mm. about something. Like, for example, my job.
Okay.
Change, shifting my perspective about it and kind of just accepting it for the reality and not the potential yeah. has definitely allowed me to view my workplace mm-hmm. significantly different, but it also has played a huge role in the way I show up. I'm not sure if it's for the betterment of the workplace, but it's for the betterment of me.
And that's all that matters. Mm-hmm.
So now I'm getting back to, like, you know, establishing my boundaries mm-hmm. and just really sticking to those hard no's. And I think that in the process of straying so far away from my boundaries, mm-hmm. I've neglected myself. And it's showing in the way that I show up outside of work and even at work as mm-hmm. well.
You feel like you, when you say neglecting so many of your boundaries, you mm-hmm. feel like that's what you've done previously?
Previously, okay. mm-hmm. I feel like I strayed away from those. Mm-hmm. And because I strayed away, I didn't realize I felt it, mm-hmm. but I didn't realize. I wasn't able to, like, actually pinpoint it and vocalize, like, okay, this is when and this mm-hmm. is why. And so I had to sit down and really walk through, like, okay, how is life going? You yeah. know, take inventory, like, okay, how are my finances? I got a roof over my head, refrigerator stocked up. Like, I'm able to... I mean, it ain't stocked up right now. But you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if we wanted to yeah. go to the grocery store yeah. and fill it up, yeah. thank God we have the ability. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm good. But it's like, as soon as I walk to the door, I don't want to be here anymore.
So I got a question, though. And this question is going to, like, I'm going to roll it around.
Here we go. I already know what she's going to ask you.
I don't think you know. Okay. So you said you've noticed how you, like, went against some of a lot of your boundaries and stuff like that. And now you're trying to reset them. Mm-hmm. So when you did go against your boundaries originally, did you know that in the moment? Like, okay, I know I'm going against the boundary, but I'm doing it for this reason. Or I'm doing it with this, the expectation that question. This will occur. Like, so, why did you?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I think that in the beginning, mm-hmm. I was very intentional. Like, okay, uh-huh. for this is a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like you get stuck in showing up for others so much that you really just neglect you. You neglect your boundaries. You neglect your initial, like, where the flagpole was mm-hmm. in the beginning. You neglect the idea or the intention of which you yeah. even went into or maybe even started this whole new project or journey or whatever the case would yeah. be for. And I feel like that's what it was. Like, I was like, okay, you know, I can do this and show up in this way and put me on the back burner. Yeah. But I went in with, okay, I'm going to do this for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit turned into a lot of bit. And then a lot of bit. I started paying the price emotionally. Like, yep. now I feel depleted. Now I don't have time to show the time or the energy to show up anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not present with myself. I can't remember the last time I poured into myself. I can't remember the last time that I was able to do anything that I wanted to do
yeah.
because I'm showing up too much for places that aren't pouring back into me.
And my question, I asked that question because just to emphasize on how important not only setting boundaries are, but sticking to your boundaries.
That's good.
Because even in the moment, if you feel like, okay, I'm going to cross this boundary for this one time or for this one person or for this one situation, it won't be for the better good of yourself.
I'm going to piggyback off of that.
When you set boundaries for yourself, though, mm-hmm. when you initially set them, it's for yourself. It's yeah. for your self-improvement or your security or whatever reason that you set, you know, individual boundaries for. But once they're set, leave them stuck.
I like, agree.
Because when you go against them for temporary emotional whatever
gratification,
needs,
yeah,
you're gonna pay the price later.
I feel like every time you neglect or stray away from your boundaries mm-hmm. for instant gratification, like you said, it never has anything positive associated. Like, I can literally remember as a caterer, like, you know how you have that client and they like, well, you think you can come down on the price for $150, and you're like, okay, you know what, cool, mm-hmm. like, you know. you think about, like, okay, the greater half of it, like the instant gratification, but then this client end up just being a pain in the ass and being bothersome, like, being annoying. And it's like, you know, I should have just stuck to my boundaries, which is the price is the price type of thing, and this is what you're getting, because... Because,
I mean, that also wages the gap of who's for your business and who's not.
Yeah. But taking accountability is like, that's on me, you know?
That's really good. And I think, I don't know why I keep thinking about, like, setting boundaries, because I'm even thinking, like, with my new phase of life, my problem before was never setting boundaries and not sticking to them. I never set boundaries from the get-go. Like, that was just my wrongdoing from the beginning. Like, I didn't set boundaries. I just be thinking, people supposed to know. Like, you're supposed to know what's up. Read my mind. Come on now.
The expectation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And realizing that expectation is kind of, I don't know why this popped in my head, but me and Sal was having, like, a back and forth. I don't know, it was probably yesterday, the day before, it was every day.
We be having a back and forth. But
we was having a back and forth the other day, and you said that whatever the situation specifically was, that this was today, whatever the situation was specifically, you said I was entitled. And I think a huge part, I don't know why that word came to my mind, but when I expect people to instantly, know how to treat me, or instantly supposed to go with what I want them to do, or how I want them to be, it's kind of like entitlement. It's not at all what we was talking about earlier. You're still wrong. But it's kind of like entitlement.
Hold on. Yeah. Let's pause this for a second, y'all. If you listen to the last 45 seconds of this episode, please comment and let me know. What is that? She just explained, gave a whole everything. Please let me know. Is that entitlement? Yes or no? Continue.
So, yeah. I just, you know... It's not entitlement. I just expect people to be good people. Like, you should know how to treat people.
Right.
You know? So, there's that. But a little piece of it could be entitlement. So, it's like, knowing that, though, it also is where I do a lot of self-reflection. And being able to realize and be accountable for never setting these intentions or boundaries in the first place. And not setting intentions is kind of doing the other person a disservice as well. Because it's like... You said you didn't even give them the option. You could have set that boundary from the beginning, and that person could have said, I can't, you know, abide to that boundary. And it would have avoided the situation entirely. So
I also want to talk about something else that I think is really important. I think that I don't think we know how much, like, how detrimental entitlement is. Because to have an expectation that has not been communicated from someone else, it literally breeds resentment. And I think that...
Self-sabotage.
Literally. Yeah. And I think that... Like, think about our dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like at this point we're an open book. But, like, just think about, like... Our conversation earlier, right? Mm-hmm. You about just needing help or feeling like you're in the presence of someone else and just really needing assistance or something. Mm-hmm. And then my perspective is like, well, you see me helping, so why didn't you just offer? You see me struggling, right? So if that is the case or the scenario, it's like now in my mind, because I didn't communicate my expectation or because I didn't communicate that I need help, now in my mind I'm thinking like, okay, well, Destiny didn't help me, you know?
Okay.
Now it's creating some sort of, like, build-up. Now it's like, okay, well, I don't, like... It's a lot of different layers to uncommunicated expectations.
So let me start by giving you guys a background...
Here we go.
...of what happened.
I mean, technically, she's right. Let me just start off by saying that. But at the end of the day, I don't care. I said what I said, and I feel how I feel.
She's right, but I don't care. That's crazy. Okay, so what happened was... We keep all of our inventory and everything like that in storage. We have a storage unit, and we had an event today. So we go to our storage to get the boxes.
Glad you're telling them so they could tell you're wrong.
We go to our storage to get the boxes for the event. Mind you guys, the storage unit is packed. We have so much stuff in storage. It don't make sense. Big furniture, big bags, a bunch of stuff in the storage. The boxes are under all of the crazy stuff, right? Very long story short. I walked in storage, I lift the thing, and I looked, and I'm like, damn, like, this a lot. Mind y'all, again, it's hot, and we were rushing. I come back to the car. I said, I need help. What you need help with? Why do you need help? I said, I can't lift these boxes by myself. Oh, I come and do it by myself all the time.
Okay, pause. No. That's your perspective.
Let me finish. Okay. Let me finish, and then you can clear it up. Okay. She goes, I come and do it by myself all the time. Just get the job done. I said, well, you choose to come and do it by yourself, because if I'm with somebody, I'm asking for help. Every time. I don't care if it was a guy walking down the street. I would have said, hey, excuse me, can you help me carry this box? I'm not struggling, breaking my back and breaking sweats in the presence of someone that can lend a helping hand. Now, I think
response. Hold on. It might be a trauma response, but today was not therapy. Today is pod day. So, to piggyback off of what she said, y'all. So, I want y'all to pay attention to the details. She said she walked to the storage unit, mm-hmm. pulled the gate up, and looked. She didn't initiate to move anything and then come ask for help.
So all the boxes
She literally just opened the door and looked. I analyzed the
situation.
Listen. And then, keep in mind, this is the same storage unit she says has all of this stuff, but she'll text me on my way home. Do you think you could stop by the storage unit and grab more inventory? Because we just sold out of everything that we have in the house. So, It was two times. But nonetheless, the last time we went to the storage unit, she was on the phone. But nonetheless, y'all.
Was I on the phone or was I on our weekly girl chat with our community?
You were still on the phone. Okay, but listen, y'all, because I really want y'all feedback on this. Mm-hmm. The moral of the story is, this is the same storage unit that she assessed today, that mm-hmm. she's seen previously, numerous occasions, and she didn't think it was too much for me to bear, too much for me to slap box the furniture and do an incredible Hulk move to get the trash bags out the way just to grab the boxes. Okay. But today, she walked in there, opened the door, and it was just too much for her.
So let me add to that as well, because then we're going to wrap this up. We're not going to drag it on too long. But let me add, and this is what I told her earlier, if you needed help, you should have asked. When I text her, obviously, I don't got a picture of the storage. Like she said, I've seen this storage so many times, and even when I walked into it today, I was surprised and had to rerun back and ask for help. So I'm not having in the back of my head, oh my goodness, a storage is this at a third. No, I sent her a text, can you grab this? If you would have said, and I said this earlier, I need help, I can't carry the boxes, bet I would have met you there, we would have went back, whatever the case may be. There has never been a moment of time that Sa or anybody else have asked me for help, and if I'm able to help, I don't help. So that would be on you, and I said this earlier, that would be on you for not asking like for help.
Needing help for something.
Stop, can we add that?
I don't know, Marcus, what you think?
And she got to add the camera guy. if you know her, that's why I say I think it's a trauma response. And only because this is where I used to be, like, I would be in the presence of five guys and know I got it. Like,
no, that's different.
But that's what you mean. That's like hyper independent. Like, why are you trying to be so you can't? Like I said,
we're two different people. Our perspectives are completely different.
That's why I ask for help.
No, you didn't ask for help. You didn't. How do you know you need help without trying? You literally didn't try. The
boxes was playing Tetris. It was tables and boxes and everything else.
Anyways, girl, just start over.
That's ask for help. If you need help, ask for help. That's just what it is. Okay.
So these are the daily debacles that we have amongst one another.
Thank you for coming. I'm glad that we
got to invite y'all in, because when y'all hear this, y'all need to DM me and let me know who was wrong. It's gonna be
also, because I know my people, y'all be supporting, y'all be riding fine for me. But also DM her and tell her if she's wrong.
Yeah, DM me. I feel like y'all
be scared to DM her and be like, girl, DM her. Because y'all be telling me when she's wrong. Tell her. Like, if I'm gonna start forwarding her ending, like, go let her know that she was dead wrong. Okay.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might be a trauma response. And, you know, I'm not negating mm-hmm. the fact that it is. But the moral of the story is, I feel like without an actionable step, how do you know that you need help? You need to try.
The actionable step was
you quit before you even lift anything. Quitter?
No. First of all, like I said, the boxes were playing
Tetris. Oh, that struck a nerve.
The boxes were playing Tetris. So if I even would have lifted one thing, everything would have collapsed on me. Like,
okay.
I'm not sweating and struggling when it's a helping hand.
Okay.
That's that. And we're going to leave it at that.
Yeah. All right. Well, y'all, this was a good episode.
Yes. And thank you for watching again.
Yep.
Don't forget, no, let's add, because we're getting a little sidetracked, you know, when she start rambling. Listen, don't forget to go to DearSisterLetsTalk.com and shop our conversational card game, as well as our planner. We have a few left.
Yeah. And they're actually on sale. You don't need a promo code or anything like that. So be sure to add a personal organizer to your cart before you check out. And I'm not sure if y'all seen on Instagram, because we have a lot of viewers that's outside the country that's that don't follow us on social media.
Yeah.
But y'all, we are expanding our conversational card game. So I'm really, really excited. Like, I know y'all love this, but the fact that we are going into literally, so we'll have a friendship deck, a couples deck, a first date, first date icebreaker deck, and a girl talk deck. And I'm telling y'all, like, we posted the questions on Instagram and the feedback has been insane. So,
okay, real quick. What's your favorite deck that's coming?
First date icebreakers.
Why?
And couples. Because
no, you only can pick one.
I feel like one is a prerequisite. Okay, for couples.
Okay, why?
Because my last few relationships have really been trash, and I feel like I needed those questions. I need to ask those questions. Okay, first date, because I need to ask those questions as prerequisites to make sure that the relationship was going to be better than how it turned out.
Mine is definitely first date, because I'm a little delusional, or a lot delusional, when I'm dating. Or are you agreeing?
Very much so delusional.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, and I just be in love in 2 days. So I think I just icebreaker question is really going to snap me into reality when people can't even have functional conversations or substantial conversations or even properly answer questions about themselves.
That's good. I'm excited.
I am very excited. Don't forget, when y'all go to the website to shop the products, you can still use the discount code that's for you guys only. Is DSPOD. And
that's it for me.
Like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube. And download and follow us on any Audible platforms.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bye.
Toodles.
Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast, Let's Talk Sis, with Des and Sai.
Stay connected by following us on all of your favorite social media platforms. And don't forget, use hashtag Dear Sister Let's Talk to find us.
Wait, before you go, head over to our website or our Instagram and join our interactive community for a daily dose of sisterhood, where like-minded women fellowship, encourage, and create a safe space amongst one another.
See you inside, sis.
Toodles.
Bye.